It's my privilege to be with you this morning on this very happy occasion and to have the stewardship of issuing a charge to my dear friend, brother, fellow servant in the gospel, Mr. Luke Peterson. I have two texts this morning that I want to commend to you. And the first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I direct your attention to verse 1 and to verse 2. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. The title of my exhortation, Luke, is Obtain and Sustain Trust. Let a man regard us in this manner. The word regard is to evaluate, to impute. It's a word often used in Paul's teaching on the doctrine of justification. It's the idea of evaluating and compiling and then crediting value or giving meaning to something. And the interesting thing is, this is your responsibility. This is actually a verb. You are responsible for the way people are going to regard you, how they are going to evaluate you, what meaning they are going to impute to you. You will quickly find, I'm sure you already know, that you are confronted with all kinds of expectations of what you are supposed to be and do as a pastor. And Paul says, you're to conduct yourself in such a way as to compel others to view you according to the Scriptures. So know who you are biblically. Know who you are and what the Scripture expects of you so that others are compelled to evaluate and regard you in a biblical way. Not according to the expectations of the fluctuating fads of fashion and culture. Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Conduct yourself biblically and present to people a biblically defined ministry, compelling them to regard you, secondly, as a minister of Christ. This is an interesting term. It's not the word diakonos, deacon, that is often that general word for ministry, but huperetes. It's a term that is used to describe an official who serves in the government of a king. You find it in Jesus' words to Pilate in John 18, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews, but as it is, my kingdom is not of this world. You are a minister of King Jesus. Amen. Thirdly, you are a steward of the mysteries of God. A steward is a manager who is responsible for the goods of your master's house. The mysteries of God concern the unfolding of God's gospel through redemptive history as it is now climaxed in the person and work of Christ and now applied to us in a new covenant through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You are entrusted with the revelation of God concerning God. The mysteries of God given to you in the Scriptures. The second text that I draw your attention to, and you want to leave a thumb or a paper back in 1 Corinthians, we'll be back there again in a moment. But the second text is in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I direct your attention to verses 12 to verse 16. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. There are six things that I would bring to your attention from these verses. The first in verse 12, exemplify genuine godliness. By your behavior, evidence that transformation of personality and character that manifests the work of the Spirit's regenerating grace in your own heart. If people who come into the church and ask the question, if I believe what you people believe, and if I begin to live the way you people call me to live, what does that mean? And the congregation ought to be able to point to you and say, something like that. He exemplifies the result of our teaching and of our exhortation. Exemplify genuine godliness. Secondly, in verse 13, focus on the Word of God. Communicate the Scripture, both as the substance of corporate worship in its reading and as the preaching, teaching, exhortation from the pulpit. Inform and urge your hearers to conform their lives to the Word of God. And the Word of God will give them wisdom that teaches them to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, in verse 14, acknowledge the grace of God in your life. The grace that is working in you and the grace that is working through you. The Holy Spirit has gifted you to serve, as we just read, a gift of Christ, gifted and graced by the Spirit for the purpose of edifying, feeding, shepherding the flock of God. Protect, feed, guide the flock of God. They are those who have been purchased with the blood of Christ. Fourthly, in verse 14, we also see that you are to minister in submission to ecclesiastical authority. Now, we don't expect that you'll receive a prophetic utterance this afternoon, although the Word of God being proclaimed suffices for that ministry, certainly. And the church is pressing forward to establish a godly eldership and to be for you that voice, that context, that to people to whom you are accountable in a submissive way. You see the place of ecclesiastical authority, not only being submissive to your fellow office bearers, not only accountable to the people of God who have recognized God's grace in you and under obedience to Christ are now setting you apart for the ministry, but also that ecclesiastical authority that we have inherited in such documents as our Confession of Faith. That voice of the church that was alluded to in the Sunday school class. Those gifts of the Spirit that have gone before us. Stay within that boundary of recognized Orthodox Reformed ecclesiastical authority. Don't be a maverick. Don't be captivated by the novelties and the innovations of the day. Retain the standard of sound words, which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ. Guard, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure that has been entrusted to you. Don't make this up. Be faithful to those words, those sound words, those healthy words, those Bible words, and those theological words that have been communicated to you through the proper Bible-submitted, Bible-regulated church authority to which you are accountable. Verse 15, fifthly, focus your energies in a self-sacrificial determination to make evident your progress. To make evident, to make it obvious, to make it observable to any Berean-minded Christian that you are indeed maturing as a man of God and that your competence is developing as a servant entrusted with the mysteries of God. That you are a hard worker when it comes to your stewardship of the Word of God. You're not a glib Bible talker. You're a diligent workman. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. And then sixthly, verse 16, persevere. Persevere for the sake of your own salvation and for the salvation of those who hear you. Pastoral ministry is not a job. It's a life. It's a life that is lived in community with God's people. It's a life that has been given by Christ through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. And then it is a life that is given to the church as an expression of the love of Christ for the church, for the benefit of the life of the people of God. For the sake of your own salvation, you must be faithful and persevering in your ministry. Your personal discipleship is now bound up with your faithfulness in ministry. You cannot be a Christian man apart from being faithful to this ministry. Your salvation is bound up in the fidelity of your service to Christ. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, so that I may be a fellow partaker of it. And the salvation of those who hear you are also at stake in your faithfulness to the Word of God. It's a sober reality. It's a sober reality. People are taught what their teachers teach them. That's a sober thing to realize. It's a sober thing to realize when you're engaging with the people of God and you hear your own sermon being repeated to you in their prayers. And you think, wow, that's a stewardship. You hear something that you've said in a counseling or an encouragement fed back to you in a conversation. You realize, this is an influence for which I'm responsible. This is a sober, sober stewardship. You see them making decisions and choices relative to the course of diet that you've been giving them from the Word of God. And you see the effect that it has upon people. You have an immediate and an eternal impact upon people. It is a sober stewardship. No wonder James says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that we will incur a stricter judgment. Come back with me then to 1 Corinthians 4. In our pursuit of obtaining and sustaining trust. We read verse 1 and 2. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. Three things I want to say in these verses 3 to 5. And the first is this. You're going to be judged for everything you do. Everything you welcome to the fishbowl. You are going to be judged for, how do you like my tie? You've got an opinion about it. You're going to be judged for everything. And you need a discernment to factor in that kind of input. You've been assessed by this congregation, and they've judged you as being qualified for the work of the ministry. That's not nothing. That's something. But Paul says, relative to Christ, it's a small thing. And you'll be judged in all kinds of ways through the course of your ministry. Misjudged, judged. You'll be treated far worse than you deserve and far better than you deserve by virtue of people's judgment of you. Appreciate that. Your ministry operates on the platform of people's confidence in you. It's not a small thing. I mean, it's not a nothing. It is something. Secondly, don't take yourself too seriously. Even your own judgment of yourself is not always accurate. It's challenging, on the one hand, to take the ministry very seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously. Know that you're a servant of Christ. And after you've done all, to be able to say, you're just but unworthy servants, having only done what we've been told. And even while you're struggling to get an accurate sense of yourself, and there'll be times when the evil one will come in, and there's a fog that settles in, and there's self-doubt, and there's self-criticism, and there's this sense of how can I get a sense of who I am in this work? How do you do that? Thirdly, keep your eye on Christ. Amen. Just keep your eye on Christ. Guard your heart and realize the judgment for which you are laboring is yet to come. Your life is hidden in Christ with God and will be revealed on the day of His return, and then you will be rewarded. And that is not an easy way for a man to do his work. I can remember after cutting my grass and standing and looking and thinking, I did that. See, that grass was, and now I made it like that. And I may have just got done finishing a 45 sermon series on Sunday. And next Sunday's coming and it's not finished. There's very few and meager times in the ministry where you have an actual sense of having accomplished something for your labor. And there will be those personalities in whom you pour hours of effort and time and see precious little as a result. You need to adjust your expectations. This is a work of faith. This is a work of faith. And you need to adjust your expectations. I kind of like the jarring collision that Jesus says in Luke 6:35. He says, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be very great. Think about that for a minute. Expecting nothing and your reward will be great. It's a tension that characterizes gospel ministry. So obtain and sustain trust. The trust of Christ's people? Yes, certainly. But not directly. You obtain the trust of Christ's people as a result, as an effect, as a byproduct of your primary devotion to Jesus Christ. Be faithful to Christ. Be faithful until that time when you will stand before Him by His grace to hear Him say, well done, thou good and trustworthy servant. So be Christ's servant. Be Christ's steward. He'll enable you to fulfill the ministry to which He's called you and to guide, feed, protect this blood-bought flock. So in simple summary terms, serve our glorious Lord and King, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.